Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 to 17. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female slave, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. With the fifth command, we come to the second table of the law. And the second table of the law is all about how we treat other people. You'll remember that Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments and these two tables of the law in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. He summed up the first table of the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the second greatest commandment, he said, which sums up the second table of the law, was love your neighbor as yourself. And actually, both tables of the law are essential to a life that pleases God. It's no good saying you're devoted to God, but then you behave badly towards other people. Equally, it's no good being a strong advocate for justice and high morals, but not worshipping God. Both are essential. A person who emphasizes one without the other is not a godly person. We need to be loving towards God and towards other people. The second table of the law begins with how we're to relate to our parents. And we're going to begin this morning by thinking about why that is so important. And then we'll be practical and talk about how children are to honor their parents and how parents can encourage their children to honor them. So that's where we're going this morning. So we're going to begin with this point: why honoring your parents is so important. Why honoring your parents is so important. And actually, this is for, well, the vast majority of us. There's probably only maybe five or six people here this morning who don't have any living parents. I'm not quite certain of that, but certainly the majority of us this morning still have parents who are alive. And it's a really essential thing that we listen to what God's word has to say on relating to our parents. So firstly then, why honoring your parents is so important. Now, we know from elsewhere in the Bible that we're to obey the governing authorities. In fact, we know from the Bible that we're to respect everyone. We're to treat all people with dignity because all people have been made in the image of God. And so you might ask, well, why isn't the fifth commandment a bit more broad? Why isn't it something like honor others more than yourself? And then that would cover all these other things that we find later on in the scriptures, like honoring the governing authorities, in fact, respecting everyone. But by addressing children and telling children how to relate to their parents, those other things will follow. In other words, children honoring their parents becomes the foundation for all forms of respect. So I want to mention two things that follow from this command, two things that show us why it is so important to honor your parents. Firstly, it establishes how society is to be structured. It establishes how society is to be structured. Children are to obey their parents. That is part of what it means to honor them. In fact, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, you will see here Paul quoting this fifth command. But he begins by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the command, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And so part of honoring your parents is to obey them. Now, if children are to obey their parents, it follows that God is giving to parents the authority to get them to obey. The two have to go together. If God tells you to obey this person, God equally is giving that person the authority to require you to obey them. So God gives parents both authority over and responsibility for their children. You might think, well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Well, actually, in our society, it isn't always so obvious. You see, this role is not given to the state. It's not given to the church. God gives it to parents. Now, of course, others have a part to play in the upbringing, the education, and the providing for children. But primarily, that role is given to parents. And so the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. The command gives to parents this prime responsibility and authority. So it's not for the government or schools or religious organization to take on this primary role. Or to put it the other way, parental involvement, informed parental consent are vital at every stage of a child's life. Now, I could say loads more about that, but my wife Hamara could tell you even more. So if that's of a particular interest to you, have a word with Hamara. But a really important principle, and it's based on this commandment, that this is how society is to be established. And then that comes to the second point of why honouring your parents is so important. Because as children learn to honour their parents, so they will learn to respect others. Now just imagine, if you meet a child who is polite, who is trustworthy, who is considerate towards others, reasonably diligent in what they're doing, there is one thing that is likely in that child's life. It's not that they're from a wealthier family. It's not that they're brighter than other children. It's not that they're better at sports or music or quizzes or anything else. No, what is most likely is that they have been brought up to obey their parents. Of course, there'll be exceptions. You know, bad parents sometimes have great kids. Sometimes great parents have bad kids. But as a general rule, this is how it works. You see, if you learn to honour your parents, it's then not so difficult to respect others, especially those who are in authority. After all, if you don't honour those who love you the most, why would you want to respect others who actually don't have the same care for you? This is the way God has set things up. This is what gives a happy home, and this is what brings a stable society. This is what works. And actually, the fifth command has God's promise that this works. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this is not saying that everyone's lifespan is directly proportional to how much they obeyed their parents when they were a child. If we look at Ephesians chapter 6 again, where Paul mentions this promise, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Incidentally, he changes it slightly because he's not speaking to Israelites who are about to go into the promised land. And so he doesn't talk about the land that the Lord your God is giving you, showing us that the Ten Commandments need to be read as Christians. We're not Israelites about to enter the promised land, but that's on the aside. But what it does show us that it's really this fullness, indeed enjoyment of life, not simply length of life, that is meant here. Honor your parents so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. God wants people to have abundant life. God created people not to have miserable lives of suffering, crime, and all the other things that come when people do not learn to respect those in authority. His commands are for our blessing. God wants to bless people. And this is the motivation that God gives here in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And ultimately, this commandment, I think, points to the greatest promise, even the promise of eternal life. Why? Because learning to honor your parents not only helps you to learn to respect others in authority, but it also helps you to honor God. 1 John 4 and verse 20 says this: whoever doesn't love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. And we could use exactly the same argument and say, if you don't honor parents whom you can see, how will you ever love and honor God whom you can't see? I remember many years ago, and I think we only had Danny at that stage, and there was a family, some of you may have heard of O. Palmer Robertson. He's written quite a few theology books, and he and his wife, they were at Woodstock Road Baptist Church. He had a sabbatical, and we kind of got to know them. They came to visit with their young family. At that stage, they had two young boys. And one of the sons had misbehaved. I can't remember what it was. That's not important. But what I do remember is Palmer Robertson correcting his son and explaining why it was so important that his son learnt to obey. He said, I'm teaching you to obey me, because that's how you'll learn to obey God. It's great to have a good theologian as a dad. And I've never forgotten that. And that is exactly right. Because as a child learns to honor and obey their parents, so they will learn to respect God. And we'll see a verse later on from Hebrews that makes exactly that point. This is why it is so important for children to honor their parents. In fact, this is the one command that's given to children in the whole Bible. To honor their parents. You know, it's great when the parent-child relationship is one of great friendliness. But you know, as a parent, our chief role is not to make our kids our best friends. Though that's great if that can happen. Our chief role is to see that they honor us. As children, our great responsibility when it comes to relating to our parents is that we honor them. Now we're going to look practically at what that means soon. How we're to honor our parents, how we can encourage our children to honor us. But let's not miss out on the importance of this. It establishes how structure is to be formed. How society is to be structured. And by learning to honor your parents, that's how you learn to respect others. And again, we could spend a lot of time thinking about the troubles, the brokenness in our society that stems from this failure so often in the home. But let's be practical. Our second point, how to honor your parents. You see, the commandment isn't simply obey your parents, but the commandment is honor your parents. You can obey outwardly because you're made to, but to honor your parents goes deeper than that. God complained in Isaiah 29 and verse 13, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. To honor your parents is to have a heartfelt, genuine respect for them. Now, this does not mean that you're going to agree with them on every point. You might vote for a different political party once you turn 18 to what your parents vote for. That's fine. You might have different opinions on a whole range of issues. That is fine. You can disagree with your parents. You might even complain to them because they're not perfect and they get things wrong. But if you honour them, you will never be dismissive of them. You'll never treat them with a light hand. The word honour comes from the Hebrew word for weight. There's a gravity, there's a weightiness about how you deal with them. You don't treat them flippantly or lightly. You might joke with them, you might laugh at their odd ways, but you would never mock them. It's a world of difference, isn't there? Between, you know, laughing at dad because, you know, he's a bit silly sometimes. The world of difference between that and mocking your dad. You might not want to do what they tell you to do, but because they say so, you do it. Remember Peter, out fishing all night? He's an experienced fisherman. He knows how to catch fish. This is what he does for a living. And here comes Jesus, this young teacher, who starts telling Peter how to go about fishing. And Peter says, look, we've been out there all night. In brackets, you might be good at teaching, Jesus, but when it comes to fishing, I think I've got the upper hand. Peter doesn't say that. Why? Because he respects Jesus. And he says, because you say so, I will. And of course, he puts in the net and finds this vast amount of fish there. And that's what it means to respect your parents. Because they say so, you do it. Now, when you're a young child, looking maybe primary school, that sort of age, toddlers, primary school, the great thing that you need to learn is to obey mum and dad. You know, in your SATs test, they won't be asking you about that. But actually, this is more important than your SATs. More important than your A-levels. More important than so many other things that are elevated in your life. To obey mum and dad. Now, you can see how important that is in some situations. When they tell you not to cross the road on your own, you know, by the time you're 4 or 5, you know why that's important. Maybe you had a near miss once. Boy, was your mum or dad upset with you. You know, but actually, even when it's not so obvious, you still need to obey mum and dad. You won't always see why it's for your good that you eat this up or go to bed at that time or don't do this or do that. You won't always see why it's so obviously important to obey as when it comes to crossing the road and not doing that on your own. Obeying your parents as a young child is how you learn to honour them. You got that? Well, it's easier said than done. But that's the great responsibility of each child, to obey their mum and dad. Let's talk about the older. When you're a teenager, you go into secondary school. Get to that age and you find there are so many reasons not to obey your parents. They're boring. They're out of date. They're so restrictive. And they just don't understand. And all of the older ones will have felt those things. Because all kids your age feel those things. If you ever felt that your parents were the best mum and dad in the world, as you may well have done when you were 6 or 7, even 8 or 9, by the time you get to secondary school, you jolly well know that they're not. And actually, you're right. Because your parents don't know everything. They're not fantastic at everything. They're not perfect. And you know it. And yet, God still tells us to honor our fathers and mothers. Let me read to you Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. And this is written to, not to toddlers, this is written to older ones, because it's in the context of warning against adultery. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them round your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. You still need your father and mother. You still need what they tell you. In fact, when you feel that you need your parents the least, that's probably when you need them the most. When your heart is taking you further and further away from them is actually when you need them the most. So, do you know what? It is worth making that effort to explain things to them when you don't feel understood. And it is worth making that effort to listen to them when they have something important to say. Honor your father and mother. Not just when you're at primary school, but when you're a teenager as well. How about when you're an adult? You're no longer dependent on your parents. And actually, you're no longer under their authority, at least in the same way. You remember right at the beginning where it talks about a man leaving his father and mother and being joined to his wife? And that speaks not simply of physically moving out of the parental home, but you're also leaving the authority of your parents. A new relationship has started. And I think a similar principle applies whether or not you leave to get married. You know, it's not appropriate for parents to be telling their 30-year-old, you know, what clothing to wear for the day. I mean, I use a ridiculous example, but, you know, parents ought not to be telling their children what to do at that stage. And yet, we're still to honour them. Did you see the wisdom of God's word here? It doesn't say, obey your father. Honour your father and mother. Honour them. However old you are, however old they are, honour your parents. Keep in touch with them. Ask their advice. Look out for their needs. 1 Timothy and chapter 5, verse 4. Whole of chapter 5, very practical about how we're to care for our members of our family and how and at what point the church needs to step in when there isn't a family to care. But let me just read 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. You a grandchild? No, you've got some responsibility for your grandparents. I never thought that. The Bible tells you how to relate to your grandparents. You care for them. It's talking about elderly parents. Children and grandchildren are to care for their elderly parents. And I look across this church and I see that happening. And it's good to see. It's a biblical thing. It's pleasing to God. And God blesses us as we honor our parents. Remember how Jesus made sure that his mother would be cared for. John chapter 19. Jesus here is on the cross. He's suffering agony as he hangs there with nails through his hands and through his feet. He's struggling to get his breath. He doesn't waste his words because the words come difficulty as he dies. But let me just read you this from John 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, which is John, standing nearby. Jesus said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You see there, Jesus making sure that his mother Mary would be looked after he died. And the Apostle John took the mother of Jesus, Mary, into his home to care for her. We're to honour our parents. Now we'll soon think about how parents can be helpful in encouraging their children to honour them. But in reading up for this, it was a great thing that I read by Kevin DeYoung. And he gives four things we can say to our parents that will show them honour. And these are so memorable. I thought, well, I can't better that. Let's just copy him. So here goes. Firstly, say, "Yes, Mum. Yes, Dad." It's really simple, isn't it? They ask you to do something, to tell you to do something, you've got a choice. You can either stand there for 10 minutes arguing with them and then do it because they make you do it anyway. Or you could smile and say, "Yes, Dad, okay." Now, which do you think is better? It doesn't take great intelligence to realise which is better. So the first thing, say, "Yes, Mum. Yes, Dad." Second thing, say thank you. You know, gratitude brings warmth to any relationship. Things cooled off in relationships that in your life, start saying thank you a bit more. It makes a world of difference because it means that you recognize that someone has done something for you that you don't deserve. You're not treating them like a slave, but actually you're grateful to them. It's been a while since you've said thank you to your parents. Maybe give them a call this week. Say thank you. Might be things from years gone by. It might be the meal that you've just eaten. Say thank you. Third thing, this is the hardest. Say, "I'm sorry." Not like so many, you know, public people will say, "Well, I'm sorry if that person got hurt." That's no apology. Not like so often we say, "Sorry, but," you know, "sorry, but I had to go," or "sorry, but I didn't really mean it." "Sorry, but, you know, if you hadn't treated me like that, I wouldn't have done this thing." No, you say, "I'm sorry for." You know, our children apologise, they've got to follow the word "sorry" with the word "for." "I'm sorry for." Not just "I'm sorry." Why are you sorry? What did you do wrong? You need to confess what you did wrong. And it's difficult to say that. Have you ever said, "I'm sorry," to your mum or dad? It's not easy. But actually, if gratitude brings warmth, apology brings healing. So your relationship with your parents needs healing. You be the first to apologize. Yep, they may have done something wrong as well. But you can be the first to say, "I'm sorry for whatever it is." Fourth thing, say hello. You know what it's like, you're exhausted at school, you're just grateful to be back home, but don't just breeze past your parents to your room and slam the door. Say hello. If you've left home, keep saying hello. Keep in touch with your parents regularly. If you're not being to see them, go and visit. Say hello. You got that? That's really easy, isn't it? Say yes. Yes, Mum. Yes, Dad. Say thank you. Say I'm sorry for. And say hello. You'll all remember that. Now let's do it. That's how to honour your parents. Lastly, how to help your children honor you. How to help your children honor you. Children learn to respect their parents when their parents discipline them. You know, it takes faith to believe this, but turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Hebrews is towards the end of the Bible. Hebrews, James, Peter, 1, 2, 3, John, Jude, Revelation. So Hebrews chapter 12, you might want to leave your Bible open here for a couple of minutes. Hebrews 12, verse 9. It's talking here about how God disciplines us as a father. But in writing about that, he also talks about how our human fathers have disciplined us and what that means. So Hebrews 12, verse 9, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it." How do you help your children to honor you? You discipline them. If God tells children to obey their parents, then parents have to ensure that those children do obey. You know, I think sometimes parents put the command the other way around, and they think it says, parents, obey your children. It's not that way around. Children, obey your parents. And parents, we have the responsibility to ensure that our children do obey us. And that is how you help them to honor you. The best time to teach a child to obey is when they're young. Train a child in the way he or she should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. It starts when they're young. How? Through discipline. Not through reward, though you may use rewards, through discipline. You see, if a child can get away with disobedience, they will not honor their parents. And if they don't honor their parents, they're not going to honor their teachers at school. If they don't honor their teachers, they're not going to honor the authorities. Their life will not be that blessed life that the fifth command promises. What is discipline? It's something that's painful. It's something the child does not like, really does not like. How can I say that? Well, look at verse 11. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Now, can I urge you as parents, believe God's word. Discipline your children. Book of Proverbs. "Spare the rod, hate the child." Whatever form of discipline you use, whether it's a rod or not, that'll be your decision, but it must be something that the child finds painful, something the child does not like. That is how you teach them to obey. You let them get away with disobedience, they will not learn to honor you. If you love them, you will discipline them. I can't emphasize that more. It's not the only thing, but it's the first thing. Secondly, we do best as parents when we remember how our Father in heaven treats us. Let's read more from Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 9 again. "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live?" Talking of God. "They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness." God disciplines us. Think about how God treats us. And there's your model for how we are to relate to our children. God disciplines us, but he also forgives. He's also merciful. God is fair, God is patient, God is generous, God is loving. So if your parenting is just about discipline, it's not enough. It's not good enough. If your parenting is just about showing affection and mercy, it's not enough. It's not good enough. We need both. Because God does both. He disciplines, but he's also loving and merciful. So, some top tips for parents. Be fair, like God is fair. That includes showing no favoritism. When you have 6 kids and a bad memory, you need to make lists. Right, 10th birthday, this is what happens. 13th birthday, this is what happens. When they turn 18, this is what happens. Because in 10 years' time, unless I've written it down, I'm not going to remember. So occasionally you allow for inflation as well. You got to be fair. Of course, your relationship with each of your children will be unique. I'm not saying you're going to have the same relationship with all of them, because they're different. And so you have, you know, there'll be some interest that you can share with one child that another would find utterly boring. But in terms of being fair, don't show favoritism. Be reasonable. Be reasonable. Listen to what your child has to say, especially before disciplining them. Of course, if it's pretty obvious they just disobeyed you, but as they get older, you know, they do have a right to explain themselves. Well, they can be pretty good at explaining themselves. Hang on a minute. No. But do give them that opportunity and do listen. If things are not right between you and your child, find a good time to talk about it. It might not be in the heat of the moment. This applies to any relationship, doesn't it? You know, if I've upset Hamara, well, I've got to get the timing right. It's not usually straight afterwards, but it's before the sun goes down. Forgive your children. Forgive. And that means you don't keep raking up the past. To forgive means you do not hold against them something they've done wrong. That's how God treats you, and you rejoice in it. Those sins of the past that you've confessed to God, God has forgiven, and he does not keep raking them up. He doesn't treat you as if you've still committed it. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, and I'm so thankful for that. Now do the same with your children. Forgive them. Be generous. We all have different amounts of money. But before going splashing out on yourself, just think, hang on a minute. Should I be saving up for my children? No child expects their parent to give more than their parent can. But a child is not really going to honour a parent who's lived in the lap of luxury and has nothing to give them, you know, when it comes to them buying a house or whatever. So be generous. And I could go on. But I won't. Because you know what? It's so easy to feel a failure as a parent. And it's so easy to feel a failure as a child. And as we look through these Ten Commandments, I just want to remind you that the Ten Commandments were never meant as a way of saving us. Because when we come to the Ten Commandments, we find actually that they point out our faults. And I think particularly when it comes to obeying our parents and honouring them and being a parent, we can feel like terrible failures. The Ten Commandments are not there to save us. It's the gospel that saves. Jesus Christ who saves. The law shows us the perfect way. But it also shows us our sin. And maybe this morning you feel that sin. It's forgiveness that we need from the Lord. And that's what he offers. through Jesus Christ. And in the gospel, he gives to us his strength, his help. So first confess your sin, and then seek help from God. You see, the gospel is about a new start. And actually a new start every day of your life. One big new start when you become a Christian, but we mess up so often, and yet the gospel gives us that fresh start every day. I love that verse, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. With the Lord's help, you can make a new start with each of your children. With the Lord's help, you can make a new start in obeying and honoring your parents. The gospel will make you a better child. The gospel will make you a better parent. Let's pray.